Previously on The Vegan Option.
She was not well developed. Her coat was stiff and real dry.
It seems to me that people who are feeding their pets a commercially made vegan pet food, those cats seem to do great.
Vegan animals are typically slimmer. They've got less associated problems.
I have not met any healthy vegan cats.
What should you feed cats? In our second feline phase, we move from the science to the ethics and examine some of the issues around specific cat foods. How should we weigh the interests of the cats who share our lives against the animals they'd still quite like to eat?
What I pled guilty to was
And I asked the controversial boss of vegan cat food brand Evolution about his criminal convictions for overselling his products and whether he can be trusted with the health of tens of thousands of cats.
Now that's something I don't want to miss.
With Ian McDonald and special guest Erin Grayson.
It's Red, Ian. Everyone calls me Erin Red.
This is
The Vegan Option.
Some of you have said what you think of the core question of whether cats can be vegan. Annette McKay wrote on the wall at facebook.com/veganoption to say, "Cats are natural carnivores. There is nothing we can do about this." But Jessica Morris answered about her cats, "We have 5 vegan cats, and they aren't just not dying or not developing any overt nutritional deficiencies. They are thriving, playing, chasing their toys, sleeping on high bookshelves, sitting in windows to soak up sunlight, pestering the dog, devising evil plans for world domination, and all the things other cats do on a daily basis. If it means testing urine with pH trips from time to time, adding and subtracting grams of veggie cat and veggie yeast, and paying very careful attention if someone isn't eating all of their dinner to make sure everyone is happy and healthy, then so be it."
Now, see, I think that Jessica Morris has the right idea here. If you are going to attempt to transition your cats to a vegan diet, you do have to be ready for the extra work and the extra steps. As we mentioned in the last time, in the last episode where we discussed the crystals in the urine for the cats and how that's the main problem. And, you know, if you are willing and able to take all of these extra steps, then I absolutely encourage you to try and see if your cat can thrive on a vegan diet.
That advice about testing the pH is almost straight from what Dr. Andrew Knight said in the last show.
Right.
We also had an account from Stephen Kelly about the bumps on his cat's ride to veganism, saying in part, "At first, it lost its fur on its tail and a little on its back. I told the vet a lie because I wanted the vet to be objective and treat the cat normally. They said it was fleas. I put Frontline, which is an anti-flea treatment, on my cat. Her fur went back normal."
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and take issue with this one. We're not talking about a pair of jeans with a tear in it. We're talking about a life, a being's life. Aside from the fact that Stephen Kelly calls his cat an it, I think that there are definitely some disconnections here with the fact that he is sharing his life with his cat rather than, you know, this little animal that just is running around in the house.
Well, he does. I mean, to be fair, he moves between it and she.
Okay. All right. Baby steps. Baby steps, Ian. But yeah, I think that this is something that needs to be taken a little bit more seriously. If either of my cats lost all the fur on their tail, that is a pretty major situation. And if I knew that the possible reason for this happening was my transitioning this cat to a vegan diet, you know, my veterinarian would know everything, every little last detail for the safety of the animal.
When on Erin's show, she always talks about how her listener's the best. And I found out how she treats mine. the last show, we heard vegan vets Andrew Knight and Lorelei Wakefield say that some cats can thrive on vegan diets if the diets fit the feline nutrient profile. In 2004, vet Lisa Freeman decided to find out if a couple of vegan cat foods really did fit the profile, Andrew and Lorelei.
There was a study published that demonstrated that two commercially available vegan diets did not meet the nutritional claims that had been made of them and were not nutritionally adequate.
Due to financial reasons, they were only able to analyze one sample from each diet, and they're only able to analyze that sample one time because it's a very expensive process. So there's certainly a possibility that they just, the samples they got were not representative samples, or that that one lab test didn't go as perfectly as it could have.
Andrew asked both companies about the study.
And in one case, the company was duly shocked and appalled and looked at the manufacturing process and discovered that there had been an error in mixing during the process, and that the wrong nutrient had been added and a necessary nutrient had been excluded. So they basically redesigned their production process to ensure that wouldn't happen again. With the other company, I was a bit more concerned about the other one, because they said that they had trouble believing the results of the study because they maintained thousands of cats, dogs and even ferrets in animal shelters in America on their diets, and they had never heard reports of problems. So if there had been a significant problem in such large numbers, it does seem to make sense that maybe not all the animals would have been affected, but a high enough proportion that it should have been noticed. But nevertheless, I couldn't recommend that diet.
I can't remember what I said at the time. I was somewhat ignoble.
Eric Wiseman, Chief Executive of Evolution. I emailed him the same question. He said he'd made lots of improvements to Evolution since then, that he'd review Lisa Friedman's study, and he suggested an interview. But he didn't exactly answer the question. So before we hear the interview, I want to spell out his legal troubles, and you can decide if they're relevant. Eric Wiseman was a chiropractor, but lost his license in 2002 after a series of upheld complaints about unprofessional conduct and false advertising, including unsubstantiated claims that Evolution Diet made animals live longer. The Minnesota Chiropractic Board quote him as admitting that those claims were, quote, just an assumption. The following year, the county court ordered him not to treat humans or other animals, given that he's neither a physician nor a vet, or to falsely advertise. In February 2012, amongst dozens of charges that were dismissed, he pled guilty to three breaches of that injunction. With thousands of cats depending on his food, I was very keen to talk, and weeks later, I got hold of him on the phone.
We reviewed the issues, with our subcontract manufacturer. We made changes in the food and improved it, and we've had very good long-term results with the customers that have used our moist canned foods.
What changes did you make?
We made the respective changes in the formulation.
My understanding was it wasn't quite the formulation that was the issue. Something had gone wrong and the formulation wasn't what had come out at the end of the process.
Well, what Lisa Freeman's study indicated is that there were certain nutrients that were at low levels, so we made general changes in our formulation to compensate.
That's all right if the problem was with the formula. Talking weeks after I'd emailed the question, I'd been hoping for a bit more detail, particularly as the other company had found an error not with the formula, but with their production process. Lorelei Wakefield, on the other hand, reminded me that her study of 20 vegan cats, some eating Evolution, took place a couple of years later. This gave her some confidence.
But it does seem that their diet it's either changed or it was initially nutritionally complete, because the cats that were eating that were no different as far as a blood test from the cats who were eating VegiCat.
But Lorelei Wakefield's study, which she talked about in the last show, could only afford to test taurine and B12, whereas a Lisa Freeman study also found eight other deficiencies from arachidonic acid to vitamin A.
we also understood that she didn't evaluate our dry food because, or they did evaluate our dry foods at that point, and they found that they were complete, and that's why they didn't put them in the article.
Lisa Freeman and her university Tufts categorically denied this in a statement to the Vegan Option. Quote, "The study did not test a third sample of a different evolution product. I put that to Eric Wiseman, but I haven't had a response."
That's interesting, Ian. Any ideas as to why you haven't had an answer, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know. Although
you do know, Ian. I think you know.
Well, there is perhaps some context into the way Mr. Wiseman currently regards me.
Yes, I think it's definitely important to share that with your listeners, yes.
Okay, a few days after the interview, Eric Wiseman sent me an angry email with the subject line, "Beware of this fraud. Ian MacDonald, corporatist radio journalist, meets poultry fish drug company representative who claims he is vegan but attacks vegan enterprise Evolution cat food."
Yes, that sounds like a totally normal subject line for an email. What do you think, Ian?
Well, I'm a journalist.
Yes,
I try to ask the questions that listeners want asked, including difficult questions. And
amen to that.
These include asking what the basis is for his confidence in his product.
I mean, we have the actual, data, and we've shown that they can live, like I said, at least a normal life expectancy. But we have many cats that have lived, longer than a normal life expectancy.
So on that data, where are your data coming from?
We have been in contact with people that have purchased our food over the past two decades, and people call us for assistance when their dogs or cats are getting ill. So we get their veterinary records, directly from their veterinarians. And we run an international health service. We use nutrient metabolite procedures. They're not veterinary. They're not medical. They're nutrient metabolite procedures I've developed over the past 20 or 30 years.
Nutrient metabolite procedures? I have to admit, I'm not sure what that means. It just sounds like three big fancy words to describe something we know nothing about.
Yeah, as it happens, I have a PhD in biochemistry, so I know metabolites very, very well.
Perhaps better than an unlicensed chiropractor is what you're saying.
Well, he says it's sets of supplements to treat ailments based on his own research. But this show is about cat food. So let's get back to those thousands of cats on evolution.
If there was a huge amount of criticism in the field with the use of the internet the way it is today, I mean, we wouldn't be in business if we were getting such poor results. And people that run shelters around the United States that use our pet foods have found good performance with our cat and dog foods.
Could I ask for the names of a couple of shelters that use evolution?
I'd have to ask them to, give out their names, but I'd be glad to do that.
I think that would be great because, I mean, obviously you're saying we know that cats are doing well on it because look at these shelters. And we can't look at these shelters because you're not saying which ones they are.
I guess I could give you one. I could give you one in Hawaii. That's the Animal Care Foundation in Hawaii. They've used our food now for about a decade. And it's run by a veterinarian, Sabrina DiGiacomo.
So what did Sabrina DiGiacomo have to say?
Despite trying emails, phone calls, and Facebook messages, I didn't get an answer from her.
It's very interesting. Is there any reason you can think of, Ian, that Sabrina might not have gotten back to you?
Well, of course, she may simply have been busy. Or it could be something to do with the fact that email we mentioned earlier was copied to several of Mr. Wiseman's contacts, including Sabrina DiGiacomo, with a specific sentence aimed at her saying, "Do not let Ian McDonald interview you."
Yeah, well, that could have something to do with it, yes. The name, the subject line of that email, that might have something to do with the fact that she didn't get back to you.
Well, this is a pity. Eric Wiseman is saying, trust evolution, lots of sanctuaries use it, and their cats are fine. But as we don't know of any sanctuaries using it, we have to take Eric Wiseman's word for it. So, trust. Wiseman did plead guilty to making claims about his cat food that, in the eyes of the American courts, aren't substantiated. Claims that the chiropractic board say he admitted were just an assumption.
What I pled guilty to was the publication of animals that we had living up to, around 20 years old, 21 years old. In the previous injunction, they had told me that it was not appropriate to advertise that dogs and cats could live, longer lives on our food.
I do have to ask you about the question of trust, because you're saying that you have this anecdotal experience that evolution is ever more healthful and that you have some cats that have lived longer. And yet you have criminal convictions for making claims that aren't backed up. You have lost your chiropractic license. And so I just want to ask, I have to ask really, why should people trust you?
Well, that's a question that deserves an answer. Obviously, because of what I stand for and my convictions and what I do from day to day. I mean, we live in a society where vested interests, huge corporations like drug companies and pet food companies, want all the business. When you consider the alternative being pet food companies that use discarded animals that are dying, are literally being ground up alive at rendering operations. They are the animals that make up the protein ingredients in all pet-grade pet foods.
Sorry, but most
in the United States, Canada, and Europe.
I don't think that's an answer to the question.
Just a minute. Give me a minute.
That's not an answer to the question.
To finish, that is the reason why you should believe that what I am doing is not only more ethical, but also cruelty-free. And that's a good reason to believe in what I'm doing.
But you haven't talked about anything that would make people more likely to take your word for it. You haven't said anything to suggest that your specific convictions or losing your chiropractic license was a result of them somehow intervening against you.
You bringing up the loss of my chiropractic license certainly doesn't lend to my credibility either. But I will tell you this, it's a different perspective. It's worked adequately for most dogs and cats. And we have sworn statements to that effect. We also have medical records from people that have provided sworn statements. And that's all we need. If you're an animal rights person, if you're a vegan, as you say you are, then you'll be more likely to believe a person like me than, the pet grade meat, poultry, and fish based pet food company representatives.
Yeah, it just seems to me that that he's, to quote Shakespeare, he, methinks he doth protest too much. It seems to me that, yes, of course, you are a vegan journalist, and yes, he is a vegan small business owner. But, your job is to ask the questions. His job is to come up with the answers that are, you know, enough to back his product up. And it just seems to me that he's making excuses and he's taking it personally instead of seriously. And that's a big issue.
Last show, three expert vets gave their different perspectives on whether some cats could thrive on a vegan diet. But what do they think of the whole ethical quandary?
Well, that's a very difficult moral question.
Jean Hovey agrees with most other vets. She doesn't think that vegan cats can thrive.
I think we all have to answer that for ourselves.
Lorelei Wakefield is the vegan vet who did research into vegan cats.
Okay, who's to say that it's more okay to choose your cat because it's cute and fluffy and you love it over the however many chickens it's going to eat that would be killed during its lifetime? So there's one argument. Another argument is, who's to say that if your cat could talk or could understand the reasoning behind why we're vegan, that your cat wouldn't also choose to be vegan?
I mean, the idea of a cat with a conscience is very interesting, but would a cat with a conscience be a cat?
Well,
still?
I think so, yes. Yes, I think my cat would have a conscience.
Maybe I'm being mean about Mazzy.
You know, my personal philosophy is that if you're going to be the guardian of a cat, that you should honor the cat's essential nature as much as possible.
What I would say is, if someone is concerned, and even for myself, I might choose this way just to be on the safe side, I would say, okay, we're not 100% sure, but as a vegan, I don't really want to go out and support animal slaughter. So what one could choose to do is feed their pet partially a vegan diet and partially a traditional diet. So at least you're making some difference, but you know you're giving your cat all the nutrients they need, maybe just in a slightly smaller quantity.
I mean, I can't tell you morally what to do. And, you know, I will try very hard to convince you that cats really, really need meat, and they need good quality meat, not the stuff that they put in cat food necessarily.
But, of course, if you want to feed your cat with the slaughterhouse waste that would otherwise be thrown out, because that has the least impact on demand for meat.
That's true.
Then, of course, you're going for the processed food.
In a sense, these poorer quality products that do have a high proportion of byproducts and slaughterhouse waste in them are perhaps more ethical than premium pet food brands, where, such as perhaps some organic brands, where animals are being killed just for specifically to be made into pet food.
Andrew Knight makes the case for and offers advice about vegan cats.
In this case, we're contributing more directly to the slaughtering of those animals.
But on the other hand, in terms of the welfare, there are reasons to think that byproducts are worse for them.
Yeah, I think that they would pose a greater threat to their health because the meat components would not be as high quality as would the premium or organic brands.
You know, over here, Friskies contains about 45% protein. Doesn't have any meat in it. It's made with meat byproducts and meat animal fat that's, you know, produced in the rendering process. And you know, it's going to be a lot better than a dry food that's based on corn.
Well, I really like the fact that you made the comment about Mazzy, you know, making a high moral ethical choice and wondering if she would do that, because I have the same questions about my cats, especially when I see them chase after bugs and mice in my apartment, should there be any. But I think that actually brings up a point of, you know, this it's in their nature. They are carnivorous animals through and through. And you can see it. I mean, you see what happens to a cat when a cat sees a bug or a mouse on the floor. We don't see a carcass on the side of the road and start watering at the mouth. They do. Why? Because they're carnivores.
Jamie Foley, skeptical vegan on Twitter, asked whether you could feed the cats on shellfish. On the basis that bivalves have a very, very simple nervous system, might not be capable of suffering.
Yeah, I would be fine with that. The good part is bivalves are very high in taurine. So you solve that problem right there. If you want least harm, I would say supplement with canned clams. I'm down with that.
I mean, the place Jamie's coming from is the idea that bivalves, particularly sessile bivalves, don't have a brain, they have a nervous system, but it's much simpler. They sit around filtering stuff that passes by. So in many ways, they behave like plants. And so the case that they are capable of suffering is weaker, which is a whole different episode that may one day happen. But but what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, about feeding cats clams, my only hesitation there would be that would not be their natural diet necessarily in the wild. I mean, perhaps if they were to, you know, some washed up on a beach or something like that, that would be different. But, you know, generally speaking, they eat, obviously, mostly land animals and fowl.
But they don't eat tuna. They don't eat...
Exactly.
They don't eat cows. It's... the things in pet food are not mice and insects, and not the things that cats would naturally eat.
Right.
And if even the really sceptical vet Gene Hovey thinks that they'd be good,
that's what I'm saying. I mean, if that is an exception, or rather an arrangement that works ethically for you, absolutely. I mean, that's a genius idea. I mean, as you said, and as Gene said, do the least harm, and in this case, I suppose that would be it. However, I don't know if anybody's asked a clam about this situation. I personally feed my cats high quality. It's a brand called Wellness, and it's canned, and they get fed twice a day. But obviously, I want them to be at their best, and so I give them the best quality food. Does it pain me to purchase it and serve it? Yeah, absolutely. It's a gruesome experience, but we as humans have domesticated these animals. B, I have chosen to invite them into my home and live their life with me, and so it's my obligation to provide them with the best and most natural life that I can. And that involves high-quality dead animals, unfortunately.
What about your obligations to the animals they'd like to eat, though?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, no, that's exactly the question you should be asking me. And the truth of the matter is, like I said, it's a very unfortunate reality that this is the way that we have to do it. But we have opened up these doors, and now we have to deal with our responsibilities. You know, if it were down to a male and a female cat and a male and a female dog, and they were the only animals left to continue domesticated animals, would we advocate that? And the answer is absolutely not. As much as I love my animal companions, this is not an ideal situation for these animals. It's not an ideal situation in general, I mean, to further our cause. And like I said, we're making the best choices we can to deal with a situation that we have created ourselves. Whereas I'm very successfully transitioning my dog to a vegan diet and he is thriving, my cats, unfortunately, will not have the same experience, have not had the same experience. And so my personal decision has been to keep them on a high quality carnivorous diet with as many vegan additives as possible. And there's Ben Applegas just to make sure that everybody understands that point.
Thank you, Erin and Ben.
Our pleasure.
You can find Erin at erinred.com and on Twitter as erinred. And you can listen to her show Red Radio on iTunes and all the other usual places. I'd like to hear what you think of the show and the issues at veganoption on Twitter, facebook.com/veganoption, and on the show notes page, where there's a lot more background links, at theveganoption.org. I've also blogged there about some show ideas I hope to do this year, like the history of vegetarianism and animal minds. It would be great to know what you think. Thanks to all the guests, to Rob Masters for the music, and to you for listening.